We're glad you've joined us for today's program. Brave is the Bible teaching ministry of Jeff Swarzentraw, senior pastor of Brave Church in Denver, Colorado. Brave exists to challenge brave warriors for courageous kingdom advancement. And that's the goal of this program. To learn more about Pastor Jeff and the ministry of Brave, visit our website at bravepastorjeff.com. There you'll find full sermons and other resources to equip you to be a brave warrior. And if you'd like to give a gift to keep programs like this one going strong, you can do that as well. The website again is bravepastorjeff.com. Today on Brave, Pastor Jeff concludes his message, God's Powerful Orchestration, and shows you that a leader's role is indispensable, drawing parallels to how God orchestrates our lives for a greater purpose and success. Now, here's today's program.
But maybe you're the spark plug that brings the encouragement. Maybe you're the gas line that everybody's relying on to get the fuel to where it needs to go. Maybe you're a tire that can be dependable when otherwise the car's not going to move. Or you're the chair that provides comfort for those that are sitting in it. I mean, everybody plays a different role. And problem is, sometimes we want to play a different role. Paul uses the human body as an analogy. Like everybody wants to be the head. Jesus Christ is the head. That position's already taken. Right? Well, then I want to be the right arm. I want to be the left arm. I want to be this. I want to be the mouthpiece. But isn't it true that the organs inside of us that we can't see are more valuable than the ones outside of us? You can live without an arm or a leg. You can't live without a heart. Right? And that's what the Lord is showing us, that he's created you for something special. And when you're plugged into your purpose and you're doing what God wants, there's great joy in it. There's great freedom in it. And other people are being blessed by it. Moses was called to be a deliverer. He was called to be a prince. And chances are, whatever you're called to do is not necessarily something that you want to do. I mean, here's the deal. Moses hears what's going on. Moses knows his sin has found him out. Moses doesn't know yet. We know from the story that he's going to stand up to the Pharaoh, but not yet. Guess what he's doing right now? He's going to go on a run. He's going to get away because in his flesh, he's not able to stand for what God is going to have him do. He's not ready for it yet. He's 40 years old. He's still not ready for his calling, and he's going to take off. But make no mistake about it. God orchestrates the unique pathway for your purpose. He orchestrates the unique design for your calling. Number three is this. God orchestrates the unique obstacles for your growth. God orchestrates the unique obstacles for your growth. Check it out. We wouldn't really know who David is if there was no Goliath, would we? I mean, Goliath is a huge part of that story. We wouldn't really understand how powerful Moses is until we see what's going to happen to the Pharaoh. There's always going to be obstacles and people who are opposing you in your calling and in your destiny. And it's the way that God helps you to grow. Notice verse 15. When Pharaoh heard this matter, he tried to kill Moses. But Moses fled from the presence of Pharaoh and settled in the land of Midian, and he sat down by a well. Let me make no mistake about it. You will be opposed. Even when you get to the place like, God, okay, whatever it is, I'll do whatever you want. I'm going to go your way. And you start stepping in that way. There will be opposition to it. I've seen it happen in the church. I'm going to get more involved in the church. God's shown me. I got to help with kids. And 2 weeks into kids ministry, you're like, this is not nearly as fun as I thought it was going to be. I'm gonna lead a small group. I know that's what God's calling me to do. And it just turns out that the small group that you're leading doesn't seem to be nearly as excited about it as you are. I mean, there's always opposition wherever there's a step in the direction that God wants you to go. And it's nothing to fear. It's the way God starts growing your spiritual muscle. That's what he's doing. And that's how he does it. So Moses is running away. He's gonna go sit down by a well. And oftentimes in our lives, we sometimes forget that this is true. The enemy's placing obstacles in our life. God's allowing them to be placed into our lives so that we'll see the call of God on our life. Years after I'd gone into ministry, I served in a couple of different churches, went to seminary, which I said I would never do. I remember when I graduated from college, I told my mom, that is the last class I will ever take in my entire life. I didn't even go to graduation. I was so ticked. And then subsequently did 10 more years of higher education after that. Right? I mean, God has a way of doing that. But I remember when I graduated from Dallas Seminary and I'd finished up student ministry, God put a calling on my heart back in 2002 and said, I want you to plant a church. I mean, it was one of the clearest times that the Lord had spoken to me. I knew his voice. I was acquainted with his voice. I got invited to go to Little Rock, Arkansas and be part of an amazing church. And I was one of four residents in the country to get to do it. Was super excited to go, super excited as to what God was going to unveil for this church that he was going to have me plant, and moved to Little Rock, Arkansas. Have you ever had a season in your life where everything falls apart when you're following God? That was my season. I left it all in Little Rock. was dating a girl I was engaged to, broke the engagement off, was the right decision, but was going through a lot of turmoil and pain. I was asking questions in their residency that I couldn't get answers to. And because of the questions I was asking that were genuine questions, I was considered kind of the black sheep of it. Like, I would ask questions like this. I'm like, I get that you guys are excited about all this church stuff, but why do you guys want to go pastor in a place where the same people are going to sit in the same seats and do absolutely nothing for the next 30 years so you can get a paycheck and pat yourself on the back? They didn't like that question. And I was asking all sorts of questions like this. Like, do you even like the music that you're singing? Do people actually even worship? Or is it just religion? Like, I don't want to direct a YMCA. Like, I want to see life change, right? I mean, all those kind of questions. I remember one day I was asking one of those questions and one of the guys looked from across the table and he's like, hey, bro, I think you need to consider that maybe you're not even called to the ministry. Stung. And I remember going home and asking the Lord, okay, Lord, if you're not calling me there, I'll do whatever you want. It was shortly thereafter. They were kind to me. I remember sitting down with our supervisor in January of that year, and he was explaining to me, hey, if you're not going to continue to plant a church, probably best for you to move on, and we don't need to pay you a stipend. And if you really love Little Rock and want to be part of this program, maybe you could go to Home Depot and get a job. It was the all-time lowest conversation in my life. I can't even screw in a light bulb, let alone work at Home Depot. And I didn't want to live in Little Rock anymore. I mean, and he was kind. He didn't mean it rude. It was just, that's where we're. I'm like, this is what my life's come to. Lord, I'm following you in ministry, and I'm asked if I want to work at Home Depot. So I moved back home, and I was telling the Lord, I'll do whatever you want, but I'm just not sure this is what I want to do. And I had all these opportunities start coming. One of them was business and professional speaking. I got invited to go speak to a group at British Petroleum. And I'm like, well, what do I do? And they're like, well, just come and just kind of motivate us. And so I did. They said, just 1 hour talk. And the people called me on the phone. They said, what do you charge? I said, I don't know. I've never done it. So I called my mentor and I said, well, what do I tell them? He goes, just tell them $1,000. He goes, that'll be nothing. I'm like, $1,000 for an hour? He's like, they won't even think about it. Just trust me. So I said, okay. So they called me back, said, how much do you want? I said, $1,000. I said, fine. Do you want one night or two at the hotel? And I told them and went and did the thing. They loved me. I had ministry opportunities all over the place. They came afterwards and they said, listen, we feel like we robbed you. You're the cheapest guy we've ever had and you're really good. So we're gonna send you another $4,000 and here's playoff tickets for the Cubs. And I was like, I like this gig, right? So as I was doing that, I was talking to my mentor and I said, could I do stuff like this? And he was working with executives at State Farm. And he said, Jeff, let me just tell you, we just had a woman in this last week. She charged $15,000 for her morning training. And if she's worth 15, you're worth 30. And I'm like, you're telling me I can make $30,000 in a morning? Like, where do I sign? But as I went back and prayed about it, the Lord continued to birth this thing in me. Like, no, you got to preach the word. You got to preach the word. And God made it crystal clear. And I remember sitting down with them. And instead of taking the job, I said, hey, instead, will you kind of just support me every single month with money so I can go preach the gospel, right? And that's what God did. God always puts obstacles or seemingly good things, like single people, you know what it's like. You know you're not supposed to date the person you're dating and you break up with them and then they look so good the next day, right? I mean, it's just like, did I make a mistake, right? Or, you know, all those kind of things. Or you get engaged and God gives you this opportunity, or, you know, you take this job that you've been praying about forever and right after you take the job, here's another one that God offered that looks even better. That's why you have to spend time with the Lord. There'll always be obstacles and opposition in your way, sometimes directly from people and sometimes just for the things that your heart runs after without the Lord. Now, here's the interesting thing. If you pursue the Lord, God makes all this stuff clear. If you pursue the Lord, it's just a daily step. He makes it all clear. I remember as I was going through this time, you guys know my pastor, Pastor Cal. He was preaching one day. I was at church with my wife. We were sitting back in the back and he was talking about how sometimes God chooses some of your areas of brokenness and your wounds to be what he's going to minister out of. And he had us think for a minute, what are those areas in your life that are just hurtful to you that haven't been any good? And I started walking through them like, well, it's not my dad. I'm close to my dad and I love my mom and I love my family and Kim and I are good. And I mean, it seems like everything's pretty fine. And all of a sudden I heard the Holy Spirit say, what about the church?
You're listening to Brave, and today Pastor Jeff is sharing his message, God's powerful orchestration from the series Exodus, showing you that a leader's role is indispensable, drawing parallels to how God orchestrates our lives for a greater purpose and success. We'll return to his teaching in a moment, but before we do, We want to help you be prepared to go boldly against the flow of culture and unapologetically take a stand for kingdom values. And we invite you to become a Brave Warrior today by signing up for emails from Pastor Jeff. You'll get exclusive first look access to exciting new content, ministry updates, and resources to help you fight the good fight of faith and boldly pursue the fulfillment of the Great Commission. To become a Brave Warrior, simply go to BravePastorJeff.com to sign up. Again, that's BravePastorJeff.com. Now, let's return to Pastor Jeff and hear more of today's Bible teaching.
All of a sudden, I heard the Holy Spirit say, "What about the church?" And then all this stuff started coming up for serving in the church for a number of years, hurts and heartaches and all this stuff. And right as I was thinking church, he said, "Whatever you're thinking about right now, that's probably where the Lord may have you serve for the rest of your life." I could not get out of that service fast enough. And it was shortly thereafter that I ran into Kent Shaw. It was 8 years after I had made the decision to move to Little Rock, 8 years after I'd heard the clear call of God on my life to plant a church, met him and started talking about stuff. And his first question to me was, "Have you ever considered planting a church?" And my answer was 57 minutes of, "Yes, I have," and "No, I never will." And he said, "Well, here's what you'd be looking to do." And he started spelling out what God was doing in my life. And I said, If you're telling me the truth, I'll give the rest of my life to do that. And I looked at my wife because we were in the car and I started crying. I said, "We're moving to Denver, Colorado and planting a church." And Kim, in typical fashion, said, "Okay." And we were walking into a conference that night or a concert that night. And I said to her, "No, God told me we're doing this." And she said, "Well, you didn't say that God said." I'm like, "Well, I'm telling you now." And we kind of walked through it together and God brought us together in that journey. And we moved out here and this is where God has me in this season. If we plan on what we're going to do and tell God where we're going to go, we miss out. God's the one that's orchestrating all the different things. And the reality is, if you could hit a rewind switch on your life, there are so many things that you would rewind to and say, taking another fork in the road there, taking an exit. I know this is going to be bad. I know this isn't. God says, "I didn't want you to take the fork in the road." Even the tragedy that's happened in your life, and even the hurt that's happened in your life, and even the things that you can't even explain if you tried to in your life, I am using that for a greater good that you don't even see. God is the one that builds all the obstacles for our growth. Third is this: God orchestrates all the curriculum for your character. He's the one that orchestrates all the curriculum for your character. Notice in verse 16, it says, "Now the priest of Midian had seven daughters, and they came to draw water and filled the troughs to water their father's flock. Then the shepherds came and drove them away, but Moses stood up and helped them water the flock." Now check this out. This doesn't seem like a very interesting part of the story, but seven sisters are out there watering their flock. To water their flock, you got to draw water. It takes time to send it down the well and draw it all the way up and then take it to one of the animals and feed the animal and then take it back when it's empty and do all. It's a long process. And while they're doing it, some shepherds came and drive them away. But guess what? Moses is there. Who's Moses? Moses is a righteous man. He's a deliverer. He's going to stand firm. He wouldn't let the shepherds treat them badly. He made sure that the shepherds treated the women with respect. And so what happens is, after the shepherds came and drove them away, Moses stood up and helped them. And when the girls go back to their dad in verse 18, when they came to Reuel, their father, he said, "Why have you come back so soon today?" And they said to him, "An Egyptian delivered us from the hand of the shepherds. And what is more, he even drew the water for us and watered the flock." In other words, he did all the work. So he says to his daughters, "Where is he then?" You get what's going on? They go back. He's like, "Why are you back so soon?" "Well, the shepherds came and drove us away, but there was this guy. He's an Egyptian. He stood with us. He drove the shepherds away. He drew all the water. He fed all the herds. It was awesome. That's why we're back so soon." And the dad looks and says, "Well, where is he? Sounds like a good guy. I need to meet him." And here's what happens. "Why is it you've left the man behind? Invite him to have something to eat. At least give him a meal." And so what happens is Moses was willing to dwell with the man, and he gave his daughter Zipporah to Moses. Then she gave birth to a son, and he named him Gershom, for he said, "I have been a sojourner in a foreign land." So Moses gets invited into this family, and Moses is given the oldest child. Now, Reuel, you'll see his name as the book of Exodus continues. He's also called Jethro, same guy. Now, I don't know where they get the name. I guess his Hebrew name is Reuel and his hillbilly name is Jethro. But I mean, I'm trying to figure that out all week, but that's what's going on. So Jethro gives Zipporah to Moses as his wife, and we'll talk more about their marriage here in a second, or in the coming weeks as to what went on with that. But at the end of the day, you see that God is using a curriculum to build his character. Now check this out. Moses, when he goes to Midian, is 40. When God calls him at the burning bush in the next chapters to come, he's going to be 80. God's going to use 40 years to build his character in the wilderness. It means this: God may have you serve in obscurity before he elevates you to your destiny. Don't despise the small things. I mean, God may have you work out your finances on a small scale before he ever has you teach anybody else. God may have you work out your marriage on a small scale before you help anybody else. God may have you work out your parenting skills on a small scale before you help anybody else. God may have you work out your singleness on a small scale before you help anybody else. God is always working on the little thing over time in our life. That's the curriculum he's building. We don't hear much about those 40 years. Probably wasn't a fun 40 years. Tells me something else. Some of you aren't even 40 yet. And some of you are older than 80. Moses was 80 when he's called to what God destined him to do. If you're still breathing, God still has purpose for your life. Right? Now, I remember when I was younger, I was a heck of a lot smarter and a heck of a lot wiser, just like all of you that are older. I mean, I realize now at 51, there's a lot of things I don't know. And there's a lot of wisdom I'm still trying to seek. But when I was 20, you should have met me. I knew everything, right? We live in a society where we think, you know, if I go to the right high school and I go to the right grade school, then I graduate, I'll have everything figured out. Let me tell you, as a person who's wiser than you, you won't. And schooling's only part of your curriculum. What God is doing relationally and socially and mentally and physically and spiritually, all those things are being added. And he has a unique curriculum for you that only you can learn from. That's why you have different circumstances than anybody else. You can never have my curriculum. I can never have your curriculum. God is doing something unique in each and every one of us. God's doing something unique in our church that's different than other churches. And your training is unique. And sometimes when we're in the training process where God's building our character, we just don't like it. We like people with character. We just don't like being trained so that ours grows. Right? I mean, you think about those times in your life where God was building your character. I know seminary was one of those times in my life where I'm studying rather than preaching and I'm not having fun doing it. But I knew it was a season. He was trying to build something in me. Some of us have seasons in relationships. They're difficult, but he's growing some things. We have difficulty in the workplace, but he's growing some things. And if we always run from the difficulties, our character never gets built. That's why we like movies that last 2 hours and we see all the character that was built in 2 hours and we're like, that's awesome. I mean, some of my favorite movies are like The Karate Kid and Miracle and Hoosiers. Because in about 2 hours, I can sit down, see the different training elements that they had for each one. The Karate Kid, I can watch wax on and wax off and paint the fence and all this stuff. And what? Sand the floor, thank you. And Daniel's son's not getting it. But I get it because I've seen the movie. I'm like, bro, you're going to beat him. Cobra Kai's going down. But Daniel doesn't see it. Mr. Miyagi sees it. I'm watching Miracle. When he's trying to get them to realize they're not playing for the colleges they came from, they're playing for the United States of America, and they're playing a Russian team that's never been defeated. And there's a scene in there where they're doing sprints after a game on the ice because they've decided to check out girls in the stands and not take it seriously. And you hear them blow the whistle again, again, again. And I watch that and I get all teary-eyed every time I see it because he's trying to get them to see, I will run you to death until you realize that we're coming together for something greater than you as individuals. And when I see the movie Hoosiers and how all of them grew together in character from this little small town in Hickory to win the state championship. I love movies like that because character gets built in 2 hours. But in real life, it takes a lot of time. And God's constantly using difficulties in our life and seasons in our lives and times in our life that don't seem to have an end to that season where we can trust God, even though I don't see the end, you're using that for my good, even though I don't see it. And that's what he was doing in Moses, and that's what he's doing in you. And then finally, we get to this one, that God is uniquely orchestrating the timing for your destiny. God's the one that set the timeline for it. He's the one that's going to elevate you at just the right time. We really don't see the word God in the text until we get into verses 23, 24, and 25. It says, now it came about in the course of those many days that the king of Egypt died, and the sons of Israel sighed because of the bondage and cried out, and their cry for help because of their bondage rose up to God. So God heard their groaning, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God saw the sons of Israel, and God took notice of them. God had been listening to him for 400 years. But apparently at this time was the right time where God was going to respond. Why? Because he had put his deliverer on the earth for the last 80 years and had built into him in such a way that he was now ready to send Moses filled with the Spirit to go do what he couldn't do when he was living according to the flesh. 80 years. What if it took God 80 years for you to fulfill your calling? 80 years. We want God's calling, but we want it now. You know, as an athlete, I was always told to be prepared so that when it came your time or your number got called, that you were ready. Spiritually, the same thing is true. We're called to train ourselves in godliness so that we're ready when God says it's time. I believe God has time for Brave Church. I believe God's doing something special here for a destiny. I believe you're all here because we're positioning ourselves in these last days so that if he dispenses a greater measure of his Spirit for revival, we'll be in a position where he can use us mightily. Now, when you hear a message like this, here's what you begin to think, because you're American. For most of you, you're American. You start thinking about, okay, what do I do? Well, what's my next step? How do I get on this train? Matthew 6:33 tells you how. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. You don't need to go looking for your destiny. Your destiny will come looking for you. All you have to do is be submitted and surrendered to God on a daily basis, and he'll do the work. We didn't have social media during this time of history, but I believe if we did, we wouldn't have heard Moses like, I'm the deliverer, I'm the king, I'm the prince. I don't even think Moses realized until after he died all the things that God was doing in and through him. For most of us, many of us, and to some extent, all of us, we'll never know the extent that God's used us until we're with him in heaven. God doesn't give us glimpses of how we're being used because we end up patting ourselves on the back or glorifying ourselves. We just need to know that if we're plugging into God, he's using us in ways we don't even see. That's why for some of you, your vocation's not your calling. What you do for a living's not your calling. Who you married's not your calling. It's what God's always been doing in and through you that's your calling. That's why in your life, you look back at different times, relationships, conversations, things that God poured out through somebody else to be a blessing to you. That was their calling. They don't even know it was their calling. Don't go looking for a thing that you're calling. Go looking for Jesus, who is your calling. Amen? I mean, when I study the life of Christ, the eternal Son of God, I see that God orchestrated a unique pathway for his purpose. I see that God orchestrated a specific design for his calling as the Son of God. I see that God designed specific obstacles to help him grow. Jesus was opposed all the time, wasn't he? All the way to the cross. I see that God orchestrated a unique curriculum to grow his character, not because Jesus was sinful, but he was building in him a love for his dad that went even deeper. And then he orchestrated the specific, unique timing of his destiny, that at just the right time, God sent his son. At just the right time, Jesus died on a cross. At just the right time, Jesus rose from the dead. At just the right time, he dispensed the Holy Spirit. And guess what? At just the right time, God created you. At just the right time, God brought you into this world. At just the right time, he started building a purpose in your life. At just the right time, he started using you for his purpose. And all he's asking from you is to spend time in his presence and to listen to him and just take little baby step after little baby step after little baby step. And here's what the Bible says. 1 Thessalonians 5:24 says, he who calls you is faithful, he will surely do it. You can't miss God's call on your life if you just follow after him. It's way more simple than reading a book on 30 days to discover your purpose or 62 days to finding the perfect job or whatever it is. It's just today. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. And let us press into Jesus today and let the Spirit of God fill us today. And let's walk in the fullness of his Spirit today. And if we'll do that day after day after day, God will see that he gets his results done in and through us. Amen. Amen.
Thanks for listening to Brave. That was Pastor Jeff with his message, God's Powerful Orchestration, from the series Exodus, showing you that a leader's role is indispensable, drawing parallels to how God orchestrates our lives for a greater purpose and success. Your support keeps this program going out to people across the nation, challenging them to boldly fight for the fulfillment of the Great Commission in our lifetime. To give a gift of support today, go to BravePastorJeff.com. Before you go, we want to invite you to visit Brave Church at any of our campuses, Englewood, Westminster, and our newest location in Colorado Springs. Or you can join us right from home through our weekend live stream. Visit BraveChurch.online. Scroll down and click the Brave Church link at the bottom for details and directions. Thanks for joining us today.